And what we'll do is have a brief recap, Mr. Waters, of the purpose of the bill, and if any of the members care to comment on the bill, we'll open the work session.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 479A establishes a tax credit for advanced telecommunications facilities investments in underserved areas. The credit is calculated as 20% of certified project costs. The Information Management and Technology Committee passed this bill out and amended it so that the maximum amount of certified costs in a given year could not exceed $10 million. So it, in effect, limited the amount of credit that could be claimed in a given year as well. Certifications may be issued between January 1, 2002 and December 31, 2005. In the last biennium, the last session under this program, the Economic and Community Development Commission will report to the legislature on the progress of the bill and the utilization of the credit.
Okay. Colleagues, are there any questions on Mr. Waters' recap?
No.
Mr. Vice Chairman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize. I'm trying to remember how this one works. The credit would be against corporate. This is the taxpayer that would get the credit, the telephone company?
Senator Bayh, that's correct. It's a credit against corporate income taxes, generally.
And where is it? It's in, how do we define underserved?
Senator Bayh, members of the committee, I think a lot of the details about how the areas will be designated and projects will be certified are up to the Economic and Community Development Department and their rule-making process.
Any further questions? Senator Corcoran.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'm curious why we would be prohibiting the PUC from creating a utility rate reduction due to this tax credit.
Takes away the benefit to the company, takes away the incentive for them to do it. I assume that's the answer.
Yeah. Doesn't sit right. Of course, I didn't like 622.
Mr. Edelson, would you come forward for a moment?
Yeah. Let's get the author up here.
For the record, my name is Terry Edelson. I'm with the Eastern Oregon Telecommunications Consortium and the more militant Rural Oregon Telecommunications Consortium, ROTC.
To any of the questions that you've heard expressed this morning?
The reason we put this limiting the ability for the taking away the rate reduction was, as Mr. Chairman, was the reason stated by Senator Bayh.
Oh, Mr. Bayh had exactly the answer that we were looking for.
Mr.
Vice Chair?
Jerry, could you share some of the why? I assume what you're looking at here is you're trying to get the IOUs to do that last mile piece?
That's
not it.
Senator Chairman, Senator Bayh, there's two issues here. One, it's middle mile and last mile. There's middle mile connections to the sonnet rings that would be put in by Senate Bill 622. That have been approved and contracts will finally be signed this week. The other reason is significant, and it's trying to speed up investments. We have learned that investments in rural and underserved areas, urban or rural underserved areas, are 10 to 12 years out. And we don't believe we can wait for that, for economic and community development and quality of life purposes. And this is to try and speed up the investment. One example would be CenturyTel has made significant investments in rural Oregon. But we know that some of their capital plans are several more years out. For example, to connect Bly to Bonanza that would provide fiber all the way into Lake County. And we have been told, and Bill Wyman, the vice president of CenturyTel, testified to the effect that it would in fact speed up their investments. He also made, and this is not an industry bill, by the way, this is brought forth through the same process that we've used to bring other bills forward, where we put them up. It's a community-pushed bill, grassroots groups that are invested in seeing telecommunications brought forward as a capital improvement benefit for the communities, like water, sewer, roads.
Thank you. Senator Kirk?
Well, Mr. Chair, this almost seems like blackmail to me. They come in with 622 saying that they're going to give them the credit and they're going to do rural economic development and they're going to work on this telecommunications. Then they come back 2 years later and say, oh, gee golly, we can't do it as quickly as we said. Why don't you give us another tax credit? That's what it sounds like to me.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Corcoran, I was asked, I think, by Senator Beyer during the 622 hearings, how much is all this going to cost? And I estimated at the time, based on very sketchy information, that the build-out of the basic infrastructure in Oregon for major connectivity would be in the range of $340 million. And that was a guess in the dark. And I went back and asked the telecommunications companies how much, and they said, we have no idea. It all depends how it all plays out. And we're finding this to be very true with 622 and the negotiations with Quest. We don't believe it's blackmail. We believe it's trying to help the companies make capital investment decisions that would favor unserved and underserved areas, and not just rural. It's Northeast Portland. It's other areas in the state that candidly don't fit the business models that telecommunications companies have to return dollars to their investors. And that's the reason we as grassroots advocates, I guess, have pushed the bills forward. The companies have come forward and said, we're not looking for this per se, but it will make a difference.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Vice Chair.
My sense is, outside of the valley, that most of these facilities you're looking at are not, they're not Quest facilities, certainly, because if you're doing the connection to the Sonnets in the rural areas, that's not Quest, that's probably Century or GTE.
We designed the bill specifically looking at CenturyTel and the small telcos that would benefit. During the public session, I provided you examples in a chart, worksheets provided by the state of Montana, how it was playing out in those states. And they were putting ATMs, advanced switches to speed up deployment, ADSL, DSL services into small rural communities through the bill that is very similar to this one that Montana passed two years ago.
How's it working now?
They've had essentially four, I'm sorry, Chairman, Senator, college faculty, I'm not used to being polite necessarily.
It's Monday morning.
The State of Montana Economic Development Department Assistant Director, who's managing the program there, said it took them 16 months to write the bill or write the rules, so they only had a short period in the first year and they only gave away half the credits. This year they've given away another half of the credits and they expect another round, and they found that it's worked. They can't prove that the deployment will return to the state eventually repayment of the tax benefits and corporate taxes, but it's seemed to drive out into the rural, more rural communities, specifically the telecommunications capacity and new services. Incidentally, In terms of Senate Bill 622, it specifically excludes investments made under Senate Bill 622 from taking the credit.
So there wouldn't be a double dipping?
No double dipping.
Mr. Chair, Terry, I would expect that you probably wouldn't look to have a return on investment in additional state revenues. I mean, that would sort of argue if you would, you would assume that there was a business case there and the telcos would have done it anyway.
Yeah.
This probably gets at, I mean, I'm more familiar with what's happening in Lane County, and I'm curious, this one at Oak Ridge, they've got the wires running right by them, but they don't have the $500,000 to track to them.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Senator Beyer, Oak Ridge, I hope, would be connected through the Southern Oregon Sonnet Ring now that has been approved, and I think the contract will be signed on that. So, yes, but that's... Once you get to Oak Ridge, though, and there are lines that need to be upgraded within a community to get service out, we would hope that this would be those dollars that would make the difference in a decision to do it or not do it. So it's the connection, and that the connection would be the middle mile, and then it's from the central switch to the house that we think will make a difference.
Colleagues, we're in work sessions. Chairman will entertain a motion to move the bill forward.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Vice Chair.
I would move Senate Bill 479A and Gross to the floor with the due pass.
Colleagues, any question on the motion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Does this have to go to Ways and Means or not? Because it says that an estimated $1 million revenue impact?
Well, we've had the revenue impact created.
I mean, whatever, I'm prepared to vote it to four, but I was just wondering, because we've had that rule about the...
Mr. Warner, what's the route here?
It should go to the floor. I don't think there's...
Okay.
There's no subsequent on
it. Mr. Chairman, of the committee, it doesn't have a sub to Ways and Means. Okay. It was referred to Information Management and Technology and then recommended to us.
Okay. Let's... move it to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Colleagues, is there any objections to the motion? We'll let him object later if he wishes to. Hearing and seeing no objections, then the motion carries, and Senator Beyer will carry.
Thank you very much. I'm just not used to this. It makes me nervous when people aren't beating up on me.
Mr. Edelson.
We could work on that if we wanted, Jerry. It is Monday morning.
Colleagues, that was the only bill we have on our agenda, so we are in adjournment until tomorrow morning at 8:10.
Great. Jerry?
Out.
No.
We're there.
We're
no.
Would you like to be...
please.
We record as a no, one vote. Senator Corcoran's vote will be recorded as a no. We're out of work session, and we are in adjournment.